in. How you guys doing? Thank you guys for tuning in to season two of Morning Tea and Allegations. This is your host, Bianca Goolsbee, and I'm so excited to be with you on this new platform, this journey. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your love and support. And just this time has been very interesting for me. And I just, again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Okay. So as you know, so many things have changed, and I just want to go ahead and just kind of give you the rundown. I really enjoyed season one. Season one was definitely an intro to really wake people up to understand that we need to be intentional with following these school districts on educating our children. It is the foundation of a lot of things that's happening in this world and society, and education matters. And we are seeing that more than ever, we need to believe in science. And we see that people have these belief systems that are out of this world, and that stems from lack of education. So education is the foundation. So we need to be intentional with our school board systems and how they're educating our children. We need to be intentional with our school board members and who we elect to be in positions of power over our children. And we also need to be mindful of making sure that we are contributing to helping our children succeed in any way possible that we can. So it's one thing to sit on the sidelines and talk about what's not being done, but it's a whole nother thing to actually get your foot on the ground and do some work. So let's go ahead and get started. I just, again, just want to say thank you, but we need to go ahead and do what we usually do, and that is our church announcements. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning. I see y'all on here. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. This is amazing to be back. And you know, I'm not dressing up no more. I'm not dressing up unless you are a Patreon. I'll get to that later down in the video. But let's do our church announcements, okay? Our church announcements are the disclaimers, and there is some new changes. Roll the clip.
This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the best way that you can securely go on the web without your information being tracked. Stay private with a VPN and go to the link www.biancagoolsbee.com/VPN. It's a 30-day free trial, so there's nothing to lose.
Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I really hope that you govern yourselves accordingly with the church announcements. And there are some new sponsors rolling in. So there's some video work that needs to be done for some new sponsors. So I'm very excited and I'm very thankful for that. So again, make sure that you guys share and tune in. There's a lot of people that are either watching on Facebook, YouTube, and also the episodes will be clipped to be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that you could tune in and listen to this programming. And again, the focus is on our children and how we can best support them and impact them, but also tell y'all the tea on the foolishness that's happening in this district. And the districts that I cover is Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Manatee County. Now, there's so many amazing things that has been happening in the chaos that we live in. And I just want to say we have barbershops that are hosting book clubs. I was talking about the need of that in season one, and to see that come to fruition has just been amazing. I'm seeing organizations offering virtual mentorship programs, and there's more conversation centered around children. And I'm so thankful for that. And we need to keep that same energy. We need to encourage folks to be involved, and we need to make sure that folks are registered to vote and that they're making informed decisions when they vote. Because many of us, when we voted, we probably had no idea who to pick. And we need to make sure that we know who that we're voting for in every single election, every single time. Because at the state of this world right now, our lives are at stake, our communities are at stake. And so we need to use every power that we have. And one of those powers is voting. The next one is economic empowerment, but we're going to get to that later in this series. But I just want to talk about some news that is impacting the entire state of Florida before I talk about a few districts today. The ACLU published a new publication is called The Cost of School Policing. And I just want to share the publication with you on my screen so that you could see it, so that you know exactly what it looks like. And so here we go. So this new report came out, and I'm thankful to actually know some of the people that are behind this project over at the ACLU. And I will definitely link this in the comments so that way you can be intentional and read it yourself. But I do want to go over some of the highlights of this ACLU report, and so we could talk about it. Okay. So the report urges the legislator to repeal the mandate that requires security presence at every school and recommends the following steps. So number one is to set minimum recommendations for training of police in schools. Number two is to approve a minimum age for arrests and limitations on use of force, including tasers, pepper spray against children, because arresting a six-year-old is just unacceptable. Number three, hire counselors, social workers, school psychologists, and in adequate numbers to prevent unnecessary referrals to law enforcement. Number four, adopt student codes of conduct with consequences clearly outlined for specific behavior that will limit the involvement of law enforcement to those situations posing immediate safety risks. Okay. Now, with this report, it actually goes and it breaks down and it actually has it to where it talks about each different counties and how they measure up. So this is a great resource for you to look into if that is what you're interested in. And I hope that you're interested about how we have more police officers than nurses and psychologists. It really just sets up our kids for failure. And when we talk about the prison to pipeline, Hillsborough County leads the state. In Pinellas County, they called it failure factories. And in Manatee County, don't even get me started on the disproportionality of sending kids to ATOS and Horizon. So I just say that we need to be intentional and we need to have conversations about this, but not just conversations, but action plans. We need to make sure that we hold people accountable to ensure that our children are not being arrested because the teacher's having a bad day and they want them out of the classroom and they just arrest them and want them gone. And then also we're talking about the prison to pipeline, and we're talking about these conversations either during election time or because we want to reopen schools. And we need to make sure that we keep that same energy. So for those newly activists that have came on the scene to talk about our prison to pipeline because you wanted to reopen the school to be a super spreader of COVID-19, I want you to keep that same energy with helping combat the issues right now today in this world, because we have a lot of work to do. And I don't appreciate the selective participation, the selective outrage when we talk about what our children need. And then now you're silent. We have COVID running rampant in our schools right now today, and we're trying to figure out who to hold accountable. You have Richard Cochran that acts like, you know, well, I'm giving the districts a choice. And then there's a whole lawsuit that goes back and forth. You have districts that still want to do what they want to do. And all of them, most of them are reopening schools. Children and educators are having COVID. And I want to know, like, at what point will the schools close down? I want to know. So let's just cue this, okay? I forgot to cue my sound effects. Let me go ahead and pull them up. Hold on one second. Because I do have a question. Mm-hmm. The question is, how long will the schools stay open? I want to know in the comments. I just want to know how long will the school stay open with all this COVID running around? 3 weeks. I got 3 weeks. Okay. So good morning for everyone that's catching up. Welcome to season 2 of Morning Teen Allegations. It's a pleasure for you being here this morning. Okay. So we have issues with disproportionate amounts of suspensions and arrests in our schools. Hillsborough County leads the state. Yet they approved cop cars in November 2019. I still don't know how that was approved. It's clear that some board members do not read the consent agenda, and that's just that. Okay. And there is, you know, more comments for my question. So, you know, someone says, you know, another 2 weeks. Someone says all year, and they're not closing. Yeah, I give it 4 weeks. You know, it's one of those things, and I appreciate you church members for being here and answering this question. It's something that's interesting for me because I'm just watching these systems be dismantled day by day, and we are still out here. They will close when someone dies. Well, there's people that have already died, sis. So they clearly don't care. There's several educators that died prior to school opening. There was a 6-year-old little girl who attends this district. She is, I can't think of that girl's name. There's a whole GoFundMe and stuff set up for her. I'll get the receipts. I don't have it in my notes, so I don't want to speak on it, but I will definitely research and I'll put it in here. But there, the 6-year-old in Hillsborough County, you know, she passed away, and there's a GoFundMe, and the parents are unemployed, and it's a whole bunch of stuff going on with that. So at some point, enough has to be enough. Okay. Going back to this ACLU situation. So you have the district that's buying cop cars. Don't understand that. And in Hillsborough, if you live in Hillsborough, you need to demand a financial audit. In Pinellas County, there was a study conducted, and it showed that 95% of Black students tested at some of the schools are failing reading or math, making the Black neighborhoods in South St. Pete or South Pinellas County the most concentrated site of academic failure in Florida. And so, I mean, are we setting up our children for success with this data or no? We need to have some conversations. We really do. 95%, that is a very high number, folks. I need y'all to start doing some research on this. This is a lot. And our kids, they deserve so much better. And like I said, we had conversations about how we need to educate our children and we need to open the schools and making sure that they learn. Well, there's data that shows that a lot of our children are not learning. So what are we doing? We really need to rethink about this public education system and how this is going to work in this pandemic. It's not going to go away. This virus is... It's here, folks. And unfortunately, the leadership in the United States of America is not equipped to handle this situation. And that's unfortunate. It's really sad. If you haven't had an opportunity to read the Justice for All series by Sandra Weathers, she's a reporter for Bay News 9. I suggest you do. There's several articles. I'll link it in the conversation that we're having today, so that way you can watch it and be informed with the disproportionality that's happening. There's one number that I wanted to put up on the screen. Let's see here, and this is Bay. I think this is it. Yeah. So there's a whole series that's done on this, and it talks about the number of, you know, students arrested and the demographics accordingly. And this is something that is opening up into something larger if we don't be intentional. This is something that we need to get a handle on. This is a lot. The numbers are alarming. And, you know, we often like to blame, you know, the school system. We often like to blame the children, but we really need to have conversations at home. We really need to normalize, you know, building family units and building a community and what that looks like. And we need to hold people accountable. The implicit bias and the narratives that are on our children is just ridiculous. They're children. And that doesn't absolve them from accountability for their actions. But I will tell you that there's 6-year-olds that's being arrested. Oh, we are. You right on, brother. How you doing? Good morning. I mean, in Orlando, a 6-year-old. We have to stop that. And we need to make sure that we are holding the police accountable. My question will always remain, who is policing the police? Especially when it comes down to our children, and what type of training is being done for our police officers that are in the educational setting. But again, we have more police officers than school nurses, school psychologists, and social workers that are able and equipped and trained to provide resources to deal with trauma. So we might need to start reworking that and making sure that we hire the right people to be in, you know, our classrooms and our facilities, because, you know, Hillsborough County pretty much just have their own police department. They out here and they're literally driving around, and it's a lot. Hey, Liz, good morning. What are the percentages of Black, white, and Hispanic total students? So I will pull up the ACLU report and I will share that. I want to say off the top of my head that the Black students represent 21% in Hillsborough County school district. But I will go and pull those numbers, and I will personally comment back to you in this feed, so that way you have it. So let's move on. I want to talk about how COVID-19 has put a spotlight on these broken systems. And I want to highlight that for a moment, because it is really unfortunate that we are seeing all of this corruption just unfold so rapidly. We see that the economy is tanking. We see that systems are broken. You know, there's people in the state of Florida that have filed for unemployment and they still haven't received their unemployment check since March. I just have so many issues with our system and who we put into office and who is making decisions over our livelihood. This is why it's important that we are intentional with what's going on, and you just not stay in your little box and your bubble, but really just look at what's happening, because it is just mind-boggling to me, all of this stuff that is just unfolding. And then now there's racial tension. And I'ma tell y'all, I'm going back to do my segments on the social media apps, because at this time it is vital. The race wars are happening with children, folks. They have TikToks where they're, you know, making light of slavery and the Holocaust and all of these things that have taken place in our history. They're making light of it. They're making jokes. And it is awful. The kids are getting tutorials on how to Zoom bomb, which, if you don't know what that is basically when people try to hop into the Zoom to, you know, bomb it. They say racial slurs. They come on there. They share the screen with pornography. There was a whole kindergarten class in another state that was Zoom bomb. It was an intro to kindergarten, and it was Zoom bomb with pornography and racist content. An orientation to kindergarten. Imagine that. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on these social media apps and on social media that your kids have access to, that they're watching, and they see it so much that it just normalizes it and they think it's okay, and it's not. Parents, I've been saying this for maybe 2-3 years now, like very boldly and loudly, check your child's cell phone, please. Okay? Please. Because it's a lot going on. Okay. Let's move on. The agenda that I have today is the alcohol wipes investigation in Hillsborough County. Now, this situation right here just really angers me because I don't understand why the district cannot be accountable, transparent, and operate in integrity. Maybe I'm asking for too much. Hey, Jessica. Jessica says I should watch Years and Years on HBO. I will definitely check that out, and I will add that to the list. So, and I'll let you know in your inbox my thoughts about it. Now, these alcohol wipes. So the district purchased some alcohol wipes, and they were called alcohol surface wipes. That's what they were called. And so there were complaints that were submitted to Teaching for the Culture about the wipes. How it, you know, was dry, it did not smell good, that they didn't feel that it was thoroughly cleaning anything. And so it was investigated. So we, you know, asked the district for their information. We pulled the SDS report that is public on the internet, folks. I mean, there's the power of Google, okay? And so we looked at it and we noticed that it had 15% alcohol. Well, the CDC guidelines say for disinfecting spaces, it needs to have at least 70% alcohol. So already right there, the wipes are just, they're not compliant. So in the conversation chain, going back and forth with the district, another product ends up getting into the conversation. It was a product that I didn't inquire about, but it was another set of wipes. Those wipes were called hand sanitizing wipes. And so those wipes were, you know, different packaging. On the back of the packaging, it was very unique. It said that it had 75% alcohol, and it said that it was strictly for hand sanitizing, and it was not recommended for frequent use. Yeah, it said it was not recommended for frequent use. So I don't understand how the educators are suspected to use these wipes when they're not recommended for frequent use. And also, these are hand sanitizing wipes for your hands, not disinfecting desks, computers, and all of the high touch points to impact and try to mitigate the damages of COVID. Okay. So this situation really bothers me because I Hillsborough County, I know that you're watching. I know that you're listening, and I'm gonna just be very frank and upfront with you. I am fed up. I'm fed up with you because you're not being honest. And I'm telling you, when I spoke at public comment and when I said we're calling for resignations, I mean just that. I mean just that. So the title of today's episode is Who's Getting Fired? Because this is what I want to know today. I'm going to be pushing the issue because I want to know who's going to be getting fired for the situations that's happening and you guys trying to keep the educators and the students safe. Because clearly you're not doing your job and this is complete negligence. When I go through all of this today, you're going to be like, wow. The district really did that? Yeah, they did. And, you know, they even issued a statement. I'll get to that statement in a second. So, okay. I talked to Mr. Walker. Mr. Walker is over Byers Point. Okay. Now, to be very clear, okay, this has nothing to do with him. He has a business. He was selling goods. I got no issue with that. Okay. The burden is on the district for doing your due diligence on what you're purchasing with taxpayers' money. Okay. So I just want to make myself very clear because I don't want people to go and say, oh, I'm talking about Byers Point and I'm talking about Mr. Walker. No, I listen, do your business, bro. And you know, this ain't about you. This is about the district because the district has a higher duty than you. Okay. So I spoke with him yesterday after I received my receipts that I requested on August 13th, 2020. Yeah, I finally got those yesterday or the 2nd. So I get these invoices and I'm looking through the invoices. I have so many questions. One question I had about was invoice 2029. Let me see if I could share this with you. This too much. Okay. 2029. And I'm going to share. Let's see here. Boom. Okay. So I'm going to actually show you guys and post the link to the drive in the comments. So that way you can look at all the invoices that the district provided me. So you could look and do your calculations yourself. And actually, let me go ahead and put this in here now. There was a total of 12 invoices that the district sent me. And this one I had questions about. Okay. So obviously you could see why I would have questions on it, because I was trying to figure out about the quantity amount and the rate. And I didn't know if the numbers were flipped, meaning that they purchased, I don't know. I really wanted clarity. So that's what I called the company to ask him about. He advised me that he could not disclose this situation. And I understood his position. And so, sure, you're not going to talk about your vendor or your customer. And I get it. But so the burden shifts back on the district. So a couple of questions with this particular invoice, just one out of the 12 invoices. There's so many questions, but just this one particular invoice. I want to know, why didn't the board have to approve this amount of money being spent? Okay. There's a whole rule. There's a whole policy about this. So let's go ahead and show you that. And I don't understand why they play games. So, okay, we're going to introduce policy 6320 procurement. Okay. And there's laws here, folks, about when you purchase stuff, there's laws that have to be followed. Okay. Now there is authority here on when you approve certain contracts for X amount of dollars, and it's here. Okay. Now, I want to get to the part where it talks about emergency, because I know that the district is going to try this and say that this was an emergency. Let me get down to this this portion of the it's a good policy, folks. You should really pay attention. Okay. So emergency, okay? So an emergency condition is a situation which creates a threat to public health, welfare, safety that may arise, such as natural disasters, riots, equipment failures, and others. Okay, not going to read the whole policy to you. I will link it in the comments so that you can read and be educated yourself on this particular policy. Now, the issue that I have with this, though, is I just want to make sure that the record is clear, because I know Hillsborough County Public Schools, and I know you like to try it, and I know you like to shift things up, and I'm going to get to that in a second, because your statement, buddy, your statement, oh man, you under some fire with your statement. Anywho, this emergency procurement is not applicable. And the reason why I say that is because there's a whole bunch of other school districts in the state of Florida that went through a normal procurement process to obtain PPE. What makes you different? The third largest in the state, the seventh largest in the nation, you're not exempt, because you've had since March. And Chris Farkas, you're on the record saying that you guys have been preparing and ordering stuff since March. My question is, why I don't see any invoices in March? The earliest invoice I see is in June. So I want to know, back to my questions, where was the PPE purchased in March? And did we not order anything in August? Because I didn't see any invoices in August. So I'm going to go back and share the folder that has the alcohol safety wipes, because it's important. So I'm just going to flip through some of these invoices so that y'all can see what's going on here. Okay. Now, if you noticed, I clicked the mouse. Okay. Please pay attention to the due amount. This is invoice 2027. This is invoice 2026. Same dates. This is invoice 2025. This is invoice 2024. Okay, now we get to invoice 2021. Mm-hmm. The rate. So the district is purchasing wipes at $4 a pack. So that pack of 50 wipes is $4. I have so many questions. I y'all need to go get this, and y'all have to ask these questions. I'm just here to provide the research and to do my investigation work to figure out what's going on here. But y'all live in Hillsborough County. I don't. I live in Manatee. I'm sorry. I live in Pinellas. But them invoices that the district sent me, they sent me this. And all this money that's being spent. And I went to see if it was approved by the board. No records found. So I don't know how this was paid for. I don't know what fund this came out of. I don't even know the legitimacy of these invoices. And I don't have a proof of payment. I don't have proof of payment. So I did the calculations on all of these invoices, and it almost totals $800,000. Okay. Can you say cha-ching? Where's my effects? Jeez. I'm slipping. Where's that? There we go. So almost over $800,000. Somebody needs to start asking some questions, because with these invoices that was sent to me by the district, almost $800,000 and no board approval. Y'all need to start asking some questions. Y'all need to start asking. Now, the question on the floor, okay? And those wipes aren't approved, are they? I'm glad that you asked. How you doing? Good morning, Jessica. All right, so I've been going back and forth with the district on the legitimacy and the effectiveness of these wipes, okay? So when they sent me the invoices from Buyers Point, they also sent me a statement. And I want to go ahead and put that on the screen so that you guys can see it. And I'm going to read it for the folks that are tuning in with other platforms. But the statement from Hillsborough County Public Schools that was sent to me on the 2nd of September says, regarding your question about the disinfecting wipes, the district consulted with infectious disease experts, as well as verified information on the EPA website that our disinfecting wipes meet all requirements to combat COVID-19 virus. The disinfecting wipes we have purchased are listed on the EPA website and registered as a product that kills SARS-CoV-2. This virus just came out of nowhere. We got products already that eradicates it, that kills it. Then y'all consulted with an infectious disease expert. Similar to the experts that you guys, you know, talked with about, you know, opening schools. And we see that you did not listen to the experts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. Y'all need to go and y'all need to go ask Hillsborough County Public Schools for a financial audit and who's going to get fired. Because, oh, it gets so much better. So not only does the district issue this statement, okay, and poor Tanya in communications, they just tell her whatever and she just puts it on the record and don't even know what's going on, because she tried to tell me that an MSDS is different from an SDS. And I had to advise her and was like, no, sis, okay? The chemical makeup should never change regardless of what it is. So you have this infectious disease expert that said that this was all verified. So I responded to Tanya and I asked Tanya, where are the receipts? I want to know the receipts. I want to see it in writing. I want to talk to the experts myself, because y'all talk to the experts and we reopened schools. And you got Dr. Hope. Let me stay focused. So these wipes, it gets so much better. It really doesn't. Like, it actually does not get better. But I'm just going to say that today. So how do I even start? You know what? Let's just take a field trip. Okay. We're going to take a field trip because we're going to go to the vendor, Buyer's Point. Again, like I said, to be very clear, it's got nothing to do with the company and the vendor for supplying whatever that they supply. The issue and the burden is on the district to make sure that what they're purchasing aligns with the safety of our students. Okay. All right. So let's load up the website. Okay. So here we go. Buyer's Point. If you search on the internet, you will see that they are the home for electrical components, including wall plates, HDMI cables, and other wall receptacles. They also pride themselves in offering innovative products to customers. Okay. So this website, just looking on its face, just this screen right here, I don't see anything about any cleaning supplies. I don't see anything about sanitation standards. I don't see anything. It seems to be that this industry is in, you know, electrical products. So how the district was able to use this company to purchase PPE is beyond me. But then I start scrolling. Okay. And you're going to scroll with me, because I did this investigation yesterday for today's episode. And make sure that you are a Patreon, because you get the behind the scenes. Okay. So then I see, oh my gosh, personal protection equipment in stock at reasonable, non-gouging prices. Okay. So it says, visit our store. So I was like, all right, let me click on this, because there's no other PPE on your website. Oh, there's some masks. It's a box of 50 for $12.97. Okay. So let's go to view my store. Okay. So I'm on here. All right, hold on. It added into a new tab. So let me do that. Boom. All right, there we go. So this is the new store, okay, that has personal protection equipment. So Tampa Bay Mass is what it's called. And under that, it says a Buyer's Point company. Okay, we're in there. So prevention is key. Shop now and find teacher wish list. Okay, they have wish lists for teachers. All right, what's up? So scrolling down the website and I see masks, and then it says stop, and then it has COVID-19. I clicked on the video and it's
2019.
Not a video that's linked to the company. This is some other video that they're using for advertisement. Okay. And then I scroll down and I see that, you know, it talks about wearing a mask and mask for all and buy now, and that's that. Okay, this is what I see. Please wear a mask. That's all I'm seeing about masks. Okay, I want you to look at the very bottom of this, folks. Okay, this is powered by Shopify. Okay, powered by Shopify. It is a website builder that anyone could build a website with a basic plan of $29.99. You don't believe me? Let's go ahead and take a field trip and let me show you, Jesus. Now, hold on. I got too many screens up at one time and I don't even know where my StreamYard is. There we go. All right, hold on. Let me fix this, because I got too many windows up. Oh, I just can't make this up. Now, let me go ahead and Bond said, don't tell me the superintendent's uncle owns the company. You better stop it. So actually, no. I actually know the owner of the company. So let me be clear. I don't know him personally. I've met during my investigation. Okay. So Shopify. Let me tell you about Shopify. You can get a free trial for a website. 14 days. No credit card required. Okay, you could get a basic plan for $29 a month. Okay, $29 a month. And there we go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyone could get a Shopify and create a website, and they have templates, like unlimited products. You can have a store. You have 24/7 support. You have a free SSL certificate. You have all of these features, all for $29 a month. Okay. I just want to just throw that out there. Okay. So let's go back to the website. Okay. So we're back at Tampa Bay Mass, right? And, So we're going to go to their catalog, right? Because I want to know, you know, their products, and I want to see where this product is. So we're taking a field trip together. And for those that are just listening and not watching, I highly suggest that you actually watch the video segment of this episode so you can actually see the screen and actually see these receipts, okay? So I'm just scrolling down on the products, okay? And I just want you to pay attention to the pricing. And I also want you to pay attention to their product offerings, okay? They have a 1.7 ounce hand sanitizer, okay, for $4.98. Okay, I'm keep going. Okay. So they have thermometers. They're $30. Okay. And I'm looking here, folks. This is on their website. Y'all can go look at it yourself. Okay, so I did not see the product on page one. So let's go to page two. Maybe it's there. Okay, so we see in these gloves. Okay, I see face shields. Mm-hmm. Okay, we see some wipes. But hold on. Is there any other products on here? So the wipes that I inquired about is not on their website. But then this gets even better. So the 75% alcohol wipes that they do have, which is a different brand and different everything there. Oh, you're paying attention, Kimberly. Yes, yes. Hold on, y'all. Y'all, I can't make this mess up. Okay, so these wipes, these are not the same alcohol wipes that the district has in their possession. It's actually a 10 pack. It is a 10 pack for $5. It's 10 pieces in the okay. So you got wipes. It could wipe tableware, children's toys, electronics, etc. 75% alcohol wipes, mild and non-irritating, not hurting the skin. I'm reading what it says, folks. I'm not making this up. Can be wiped and cleaned at any time. The shelf life is 2 years. Each contains 10 paper towels. Is it paper towels or is it hand sanitizing wipes? It's alcohol wipes. And then there's 10 sheets for $5 with free shipping. So, okay. So you're like, Bianca, all right, I see this. what the hell? And I'm right there with you. But it goes even further, folks. I can't make it up. I can't. So I said, okay. So this website here, you know, it's a Shopify. Anybody could go get a Shopify. I want to know when this website was created. I want to know, you know, when did this company is established? I know that they are affiliated with a Buyer's Point, but Tampa Bay Mass is particularly strictly for their PPE based on this research that we're doing together. So, okay. So then I went to go look at the domain registration. Now, for those of you that have a website or, you know, have purchased a domain, you know that there's a domain registry. And anytime that you purchase a domain name, it could be researched, right? And it will tell you who owns it if you don't have domain privacy. And it'll also tell you the date that it was purchased and the last time that it was updated. So, okay. I go to ICANN. ICANN, there is a law involving with domain names. ICANN is a valid source. So I'm going to show you their website and what I looked up on TampaBayMass.com. So I go to TampaBayMass.com and I see that this was created on April 4th, 2020. So for those of you that don't know what that means that an individual representing the company bought this domain name, TampaBayMass.com, on April 4th, 2020. The registrar, they use Namecheap to purchase it. And they have privacy on here. So I'm not able to see their name and contact information. That's good. Make sure you get domain privacy, especially if you don't want people searching for you. But anywho, this domain was bought on August 4th, 2020. So this is a recently established company that is selling PPE. And the seventh largest school district in the nation decided that it would be a great idea to use a company that just purchased their domain name. There's invoices here that are almost $800,000. There's discrepancies in the invoices. And there's educators that are saying, where's the PPE? And I'm having issues with my PPE. But yet you have Superintendent Addison Davis saying that they have warehouses and they have everything stocked up and they're ready to go. You have Chris Farkas saying that they've been preparing for this since March. So I just want to know, somebody in here is lying. Somebody is lying and somebody needs to get fired. And I'm going to be very transparent. Somebody needs to go to jail. Somebody needs to go to jail because you have endangered the lives of over 200,000 kids. Hillsborough County is one of the largest employers in the city of Tampa. And y'all decide that y'all are going to buy PPE from a company where they just purchased the domain name in April. They're purchasing wipes at $4 a piece. And if they bought more, then it went to like $3. And there's one invoice that I couldn't get no clear answers on. Y'all need to start asking questions. Now, when I say it gets even better, it gets even better. Okay. So the question on the floor was about bidding purchases. Absolutely. You know, I have showed the policy and I will show it again. It is policy number 6320. The district, and I cleared up because I don't want the district to say that this was an emergency, that they needed to override the board's approval for these purchases. Because this is the policy, folks. Listen, y'all need to start asking these questions. Y'all, the district has endangered the lives of our teachers, our support staff, and our children by purchasing this material and then lie. Can we please go back? Can we go back and pull up their statement, please? This is their statement. This is what they said about the wipes. And y'all out here saying that an infectious disease expert told y'all that these wipes that y'all purchased on a Shopify website. Well, I don't even know if you purchased it on the Shopify website because the product is not even on the Shopify website. So how and what? I don't know. This is why I requested the records of all communications between the vendor and Hillsborough County Public Schools. I want those records. And I want all of it that complies with the statute because right now, you have bought wipes from a company that specializes in wall cables and audiovisual equipment. They then hop into dealing with PPE because, you know, they have connections with outsourcing in China. So y'all go get these wipes outsourced from China, and these wipes are not compliant. These wipes were imported. This does not comply with the law. This does not align with CDC guidelines. This does not keep people safe. And when I brought this to the attention, the district decided that they wanted to cover this up. They decided that they wanted to lie. They decided that they wanted to clean this mess up. And that's why somebody needs to go to jail, because they are intentionally hurting people by not being truthful. This is taxpayers' money, folks. Taxpayers' money. This is not their money. This is not a private entity. Meanwhile, Chris Farkas is out here lying, saying that they've been prepared. Now, I did my public records request and I was very clear in my records request and what I asked for. I wanted to know all the receipts of the proof of purchase. And this is what y'all send me. I don't see any invoices from March and I don't see any invoices in April. I see invoices from a short period of time. And if y'all go look at this Google Drive that I prepared for y'all to go look at, some of these invoices have the same date and they different invoice numbers. So who the hell knows if the district purchased this or not, and if this is a proof of purchase or not? I have so many questions. Y'all need to go start asking some questions and demanding accountability, transparency, and integrity, because our teachers are going through a lot already. And then for you not to give them the proper PPE, and then lie to the community and say that you're doing everything that you can, is disingenuous and wrong. And someone needs to be fired. And personally, I think people need to go to jail, because now is not the time. We are in a public health crisis. This is a public health crisis, and you are purchasing PPE that is not designed to keep our educators safe, and then you lie about it. That is negligence. So the district, y'all gonna have to clean this up. Y'all need to clean up with these wipes, because it's very evident that you don't care. And the fact that you've lied and tried to cover this up shows that this is why we can't trust you. The sad part about all of this is that the inside joke in Hillsborough County is that the fourth floor of Rozac is ground zero. So let's go back to Dr. Hope. Now, Dr. Hope had the nerve. Okay, Dr. Hope, just come on to the front of the congregation, sir, because it's just so interesting when you pick and choose when you, you know, want to advocate. We need to start stripping medical licenses. We need to start stripping titles of people that don't want to do right. Because Dr. Hope, you didn't want to give your opinion when the medical professionals were all there, but then magically you was able to give your medical opinion to Addison Davis via email. Y'all need to request the records to see what Dr. Hope emailed Addison Davis and the communications that happened, because I just find it interesting that all this time he could not give an opinion. I want y'all to pay attention. Now, Ron DeSantis told these health experts not to give an opinion. That's y'all go look it up. So Hillsborough County, all of a sudden, we get an email. Dr. Hope, you sent Addison Davis an email about how the rate went down and we could reopen schools. But then yesterday, okay, somebody needs to get fired. Somebody needs to go to jail. We need to pull some licenses. We need to file some. All right. Let me show you this. Okay. This is an article for Tampa Bay Times, and it talks about Dr. Hope, and he's quoted in this article. Okay. He's quoted and he says the upward trend cannot be attributed to Hillsborough County schools opening this week for in-person teaching because any school related spikes likely would not be revealed for about 3 weeks.
Bruh.
Dr. Hope, let me take you to school real quick. Dr. Hope, you do realize that Hillsborough County Public Schools is one of the largest employers in Tampa, and you do realize that the folks were forced to come to work with no proper safeguards and wipes that was purchased from a Shopify website. And you do know that this is why we're here. You do know that, right, Dr. Hope? It has nothing to do about reopening schools. That's going to be a whole nother fiasco in 2 weeks. Watch. But you made the people come to school. Addison Davis sent emails and telling people where they was working remotely that they had to come in. Okay. This is what Addison Davis told the people in writing, that they needed to come in to work. Okay. And he also had his little minions send emails too, because he doesn't like certain stuff on record coming from him. Y'all need to be very strategic. I'm telling y'all, this is just me. But with everything going on with Superintendent Addison Davis, I'm going to just be honest with you. Y'all need to go ahead and let him go. He is getting paid $310,000. And the series of events that have taken place is not trustworthy at all. You have private meetings behind closed doors with Ron DeSantis and Richard Cochran trying to make some different compromise. Well, I don't know if Richard Ron DeSantis was there at the time, but you know, they all closely related. I mean, they do talk. They do associate with each other. So that whole reopening schools was a fiasco. We listened to the medical experts, and you know, Addison Davis is on the record saying that, you know, if our hands weren't tied, we would, you know, he just has not been very consistent with his position, and it seems to change whenever it needs to change. And that is a dangerous person. That is very dangerous. We need to have conversations about Addison Davis. My personal opinion is I think that we need to just let him go, but that's not going to get 4 votes right now, because you got Steve Kona that swears that he works for the district. I don't know how many times people done told me that he just sit up there in the office. You have, you know, Melissa Snively that, you know, right before that emergency meeting that was held last Friday, you know, right before school started, you know, I was there, you know, they was hugged up on each other, talking, kiki-kiing, all okay. You got Cindy Stewart. Well, Cindy Stewart was endorsed by Addison Davis, and Addison Davis didn't know her like that to even endorse her. So I don't even know, you know, she's moving on to the clerk of court, and I pray for the residents of Hillsborough County for that. You got Dr. Stacey Hart. I don't really know her position in her stance. I'm really confused with that. And then you have Tamara Schamburger, which she would approve Addison Davis going. You have Lynn Gray that would approve Addison Davis going, and Karen Perez. I think those three would approve, but that's not four votes. So November, we need work done. So for District 1, we need Nadia Combs, please and thank you. District 5, we need Shate Washington. And I'm going to just tell you right now, we are investigating for District 3. We're going to hold different platforms. But I'm going to tell you, I don't fool with people that, have, vested interest. And so, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, Jessica Vaughn is the strongest candidate that I'm looking at right now between them two. So that's just where we're at. Now, the last thing before I go, because I've been on here an hour, and it's another product that needs to be brought to your attention. The next product is the foaming hand sanitizer, which again, they sent an email out to the staff saying that it was safe. And that there were certain restrictions on this hand sanitizer. One of the restrictions was it has to be in AC, okay? It needs to be with air conditioning. So I just want to know, when y'all shut off the AC today for the weekend, will you need to dispose of the foaming hand sanitizer or not? Oh, I forgot Area 7. And I better not forget it. Let me tell you something. Y'all better not vote for Sally Harris. I'm telling you. Y'all vote for Sally Harris. Y'all in for a rude awakening on the school board that y'all don't want. It's already bad enough. Please. Lynn Gray. I understand. I'm still heartbroken. Okay. I'm still heartbroken about Angela. My heart is still broken by this. But we got to support somebody, and it's between Lynn Gray and Sally Harris. I'm putting my name on Lynn. We cannot have Sally. And Sally Harris has been in some really compromising situations lately. There's going to be an article and video that's going to be posted on Teaching for the Culture about that. There was an interview that she did with this lady who starts to, attack people and call people like predos and just really unhinged. And this is who, Sally Harris aligned herself with. And it's odd and baffling to me, but okay. So, okay, the last thing that I'm going to end with is Cross the Bay and tell us about Pinellas District. Now, you already know, sis, Caprice Edmond. Caprice for District 7, Pinellas County. I don't know why y'all out here playing and y'all out here talking about some voting for Carl Nurse. What has Carl Nurse done for the community? Huh? Let me cue the music. What has Carl Nurse done for the community? And also says, I'm talking about Pinellas County too. I was just talking about Hillsboro because of this PPE stuff. But, I'm with my folks in Pinellas. But District 1, please vote Laura Hyde while we're here. Anywho, so the last thing. Who says vote for Carl Nurse? Not me. Vote Caprice Edmond, District 7. Okay, so the last thing I want to end you with is with the foaming hand sanitizer. The foaming hand sanitizer, it does have a chemical reaction to the wax that they have on the floor on certain campuses, and it turns the floor black. In addition to that, there has been reports of a stinging feeling when they use it, and it smells like stale tequila. I did an investigation. Fuller Industries, hello. I'm still waiting on my call back. Please give me a call at 813-400-3311. I have questions on how this SDS changed, And there is no new version update. There was nothing else modified on the document, but that you removed that it has reproductive health risk. And even if you did that, right? Even if you did that, districts, you purchased the product prior to the SDS change. So it doesn't matter. But see, this is why someone needs to be fired and someone needs to be intentional, because whoever thought about that idea. So there are some action items, folks. Okay. There's some EPA complaints that y'all can start filing. There's some OSHA complaints that y'all can start filing. Y'all need to go to the news. Y'all need to look at the Google Drive, share it, let people know about what the district decided to purchase for the folks in Hillsborough. Next week, I'm taking a deep dive into Pinellas County with their simultaneous teaching and how teachers are leaving and flocking. And they're trying to promote for substitute teachers. Well, I just want to know what substitute teacher is going to come into the classroom and they're not getting health care in a pandemic. So much corruption, so much to talk about, so little time. But I just thank you guys for tuning in to season 2, episode 2 of Morning Tea and Allegations. And thank you guys for your support. But there's some action items, folks. There's action items here, and y'all need to be intentional, start asking questions and demand stuff right here in Hillsborough County, Pinellas County. I will see my folks next week because we got to talk about this teaching and what's happening. But right now, we need to talk about this PPE that Hillsborough County decided to purchase for the 7th largest school district in the nation, the 3rd largest in the state, that is not compliant, and they lied, and they are being very disingenuous with their community and with their stakeholders about what's happening. So with that, people lie, receipts don't. And if you have any receipts about me, bring it up to the table. I don't understand why people be upset with me talking about stuff. If you got receipts, let's talk about it. But if you don't have any receipts, please be very clear. Keep my name out your mouth. Love you. Bye.
Please keep my name about your mouth. And mind your business.